This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is Top 10 Real Estate Investing Markets for 2020. But before we get started, hey, I just want to touch base with you guys and make sure everybody's doing good. Just plowing into this great year ahead, man. 2020's got some great stuff happening. And I am like very stoked for those of you that are just getting started and want to start buying some investment properties. I think it's a great time to buy. And yeah, that's what we're going to be talking about today is just where do you buy, you know? And so, but first I've got a little tip for you guys before we get going here. I don't know how many of you listening are out-of-state investors, but boy, I'll tell you, there are a lot of challenges as an out-of-state investor, and probably one of the biggest ones is that sometimes just getting tasks done. Maybe you're trying to rehab a place, maybe you've got a property and you've got a property manager, but maybe you can't reach the property manager when you need things done. Maybe a tenant is, you know, knee deep in water. And so a lot of times you have to just kind of respond as quickly as you can. Well, one of the things that I've been doing that's been real helpful is actually getting a hold of these various services out there, Home Advisor, TaskRabbit, Handy.com, and like Angie's List, but I think they were bought by Home Advisor. But these are services that you can find your own sort of handyman or handy women, whatever it may be. Maybe you need a quick plumber. Maybe you need somebody to trim a tree that you've got a branch about to collapse on your roof. If you got a great property manager, boom, you know, they'll be on it and they'll take care of it. That isn't always the case. Sometimes it may be a holiday, maybe a time when they're not available. Get familiar if you can with some of these services. They're great. I like TaskRabbit, the way it works. It's really quick. You can find somebody and they can get out there the same day and they tell you how much they're going to charge you exactly. And there's no surprises and the rates are real reasonable. Same with Handy.com. A Home Advisor is a little bit more involved, TaskRabbit's a real quick one. It's kind of hit and miss. Sometimes, guys won't show or cancel, and that's not real great. But, when you do find somebody good, it's somebody that you can latch on to and hopefully have a relationship with, and it can be kind of like your handyman on call, middle of the night type stuff, if your property management firm isn't doing that. Anyway, let's jump into our topic. It's kind of a big one here, and I'll try to hit it quickly. But, you know, it's called Top 10 Real Estate Investing Markets for 2020. We all know real estate, they say, is about location, location, location. I tend to say it's also about relationships, relationships, relationships. But, you know, it's an important thing is where you buy your properties. And that is huge. You know, now, if you're in an area that, you know, has all the right stuff, maybe, you know, you live in Charlotte, North Carolina, for example, and there's just, it's a great market. It's a great market. It's emerging. There's a lot of good stuff happening. And you don't have to worry about, you know, trying to find a place to invest because you're already investing in a good place. This will kind of pertain to everybody, though. though, is that, you know, trying to find the best market to invest is really key. I talk a lot about emerging markets on this show, and especially for those out-of-state investors. But even if you're not, even if you're investing in your own area, you might want to try to find the area that is the best and has the best potential. I'm always looking at which markets are the best markets to invest for both short-term and long-term. And today's podcast, I'm really going to share various cities that are out there. And granted, I recognize that there sometimes you question sort of the dependability of some of the cities that are being cited as top in their market. Again, it's just taking the raw data, crunching it, and putting it all together and coming up with these lists. And I believe that sort of the best way to buy properties is in an area where you can buy in an emerging market. And I've explained, what an emerging market is. But basically, you just look at sort of this bell curve, and it's buying at sort of the base of that bell before it goes up and rounds up, and then what we also call the top of the bubble, and then it goes down. So you want to buy, not maybe at the very bottom, but, maybe a little ways up. And then, when you get up close to the top, if you're going to sell, you're going to sell. If you're going to hold on to it, then hold on to it. But, you have enough play in there that rents are going to go up, and you're going to be able to increase rents because the market demand is there. The property value, the equity will go up. All the right stuff, for purchasing a property that you're either going to hold on to for the long term or just for cash flow. That's what we like to look at. Now, what's in an emerging market? What do you look at? There are a lot of different factors. Things like job creation, the increase in population and future expected growth, a building proposed. So looking at permits pulled for new construction, new housing, government planning, what kind of plans do the government have for that area? Maybe they're doing a huge thing to attract business and tax incentives and so forth. Affordability. Properties there affordable for people to buy. Then you look at things like absorption rate and vacancy rate. All these factors play, and I'll go into a little bit more in detail too. One of the major factors that I like to look at too is also, are there value add opportunities there? Meaning, can I get a building, for example, if it's an apartment, that is in the asset class and meeting the criteria that I'm looking for in terms of how new it is, how it's structured and so forth? Is there room to be able to buy that at a discount so that I can buy it with built-in equity? And, it kind of gives you a little jump on things. Also, it's a good hedge against inflation too. We look at a lot of things. I mentioned a few key ones. Some of the other things you look at, are there large businesses locating in the area, maybe moving into that area? Is it an appealing lifestyle where people will want to live? Is there a state capital or university nearby? Big box retail, shopping hubs? Where's the airport? Is it close by? What's the infrastructure? Is it in the path of progress? Some of these key areas that that we kind of look at for an ideal market. So I'm gonna look at some top markets here. First, I'm going to take a little look back. 2019, Gary Beasley, he's a CEO and founder of Roofstock. And we've talked about Roofstock quite a bit on this show. It's basically sort of an MLS for investors. It's list investment properties, so you can check out properties that have a proven record as an investment property, and you can shop there in the areas that you're interested in. Earlier in the summer, he wrote an article for Forbes, the CEO of Roofstock, called Secondary Cities Make Up the 10 Trending Single-Family Rental Markets for Investors in 2019. Now, secondary cities, we're talking secondary markets that are not as big as, New York and LA and the top markets, but they still, are large enough that they do have a significant impact on that area. So he had cited, using analysis data from Census Bureau and Zillow Research, areas that he thought would be smart areas to invest. And he cited places like Las Vegas, Orlando, Florida, Atlanta, Charlotte, Phoenix, Dallas, Fort Worth, Jacksonville, San Antonio, Indianapolis, Fort Lauderdale, as really good places to invest in. And he cites some of these areas I've talked about, you know, affordability, what's the local economy, is the, what's the population growth, a job increase, unemployment rates, all these factors, looking at them, and came up with this list. Some of these you're going to see are going to show up. Some of these same names are going to show up for 2020. But, you know, I'm going to focus in on what are the good markets ahead for this year. If you're looking to buy, where should you be looking? One survey that I have a great deal of respect for, it's called the Urban Land Institute. And they sort of partner with the global consulting and tax firm of PwC, and they look at sort of the top emerging markets for the upcoming year. They do this every year, and I like to point it out. I don't know that I always agree with their data, but at the same time, I think they look at all the factors that I had expressed before. They came up with a top 10 list here. So I'm going to kind of give you just an overview on this, and then I'm going to kind of delve into some other lists just so you kind of know what things are out there. But they're, you know, look at the sort of the major MSAs. Okay, these are not necessarily the secondary smaller markets, but they're major MSAs. Number one, they say, is Austin, Texas right now to invest in. Number two, Raleigh-Durham. Number three, Nashville. Four, Charlotte, North Carolina. Five, Boston. Six, Dallas-Fort Worth area. Seven, Orlando. Eight, Atlanta. Nine, Los Angeles. 10, Seattle. Now, I would say sort of those last two, just because I'm on the West Coast and I'm kind of more familiar with those, I would say that and I look at, you know, some of these other markets too, because I just invested in Dallas-Fort Worth and I'm, you know, been looking at Nashville for a long time. Some of these areas, they're areas where the cap rates are fairly condensed. I mean, they're fairly compressed, and it's not really easy one to find deals there, especially with the criteria that I mentioned earlier, trying to get something at a discount. Very difficult in these areas, but all the growth factors are there that if you do get something, it's a pretty solid place to invest. I also have questioned, you know, certain areas. Like I live in the Southern California area. I think, you know, we're at close to or, you know, on top of the bubble as we can be right now. Some places are even declining in value. That to me is not necessarily a good place to invest. But nonetheless, I'm going to delve a little bit deeper. And there's other types of markets within markets. Realtor magazine also did a sort of a deep look into emerging real estate trends and created five categories of hot investment markets for real estate investors too. So I'm going to give you some more lists. I know you guys are probably going, but you know, the idea and even sharing lists to me is one, you know, I think you need to develop your own list. You need to learn how to find the raw data yourself, overlay it, and put it together where you come up with your own emerging places. But these are some that you might be interested in that you might want to research yourself. But these are some of the areas here. They have one category. It's called major capital magnets, okay? And that means markets accounting for more than 17% of total real estate transactions over the last 3 years. So you've got Manhattan, of course, Chicago, Inland Empire of California. That's an area over here where you've got Riverside and San Bernardino, and it's a very hot place. But hot in terms of weather, but it's also hot in terms of real estate. Northern New Jersey, Houston, Phoenix, San Diego, Oakland, East Bay, California, and Miami. Those are all pretty hot areas right now that are doing a lot of real estate transactions. Then there's a category called determined competitors. Okay, these are housing markets with a consistent record of capital inflows and solid transaction volumes year after year. So there's a lot of buying and selling going on, and it's a very strong economy. Places like Philadelphia, Long Island, New York, Fairfield County, Connecticut, Queens, Bronx, Staten Island, New York, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Sacramento, Kansas City, Las Vegas, Baltimore, Washington, D.C., and Detroit. And then there's a category called ripe for discovery. And these are markets with at least 1 million people and population growth in the double digits. So there's a lot of growth going on, a lot of good potential, and it's still early enough that you can get deals, okay? Places like Jacksonville, Florida, Salt Lake City, Columbus, Ohio, Cincinnati, Louisville, Pittsburgh, Greenville, South Carolina, Oklahoma City, Cape Coral, Fort Myers, Naples, Florida areas, Boise, Idaho, Spokane, Washington, Des Moines, Tacoma, Jersey City. Now, some of these are in those secondary markets, which make them a little bit more, when it says ripe for discovery, it's a good explanation. I think it gives you an opportunity to maybe get in there and find some good deals. One, because it's a smaller market that a lot of people may not be targeting. And two, they have all the other stuff happening for them in terms of growth. And then there's a category called markets meeting expectations. And these are markets offering the best match between prospects and investment flows, okay? So you've got places like Fort Lauderdale, Tallahassee, Daytona Beach, Gainesville, the Florida area, Richmond, Virginia, Birmingham, Alabama, Honolulu, Hawaii, Cleveland, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Omaha, Nebraska, Tucson, Arizona, San Antonio, and Buffalo. The final one is here, the thrifty choices. These are under the radar markets. And these attract me. I like the ones that aren't as visible. You know, they're not the same Atlanta, Dallas, Fort Worth, you know, that are always on the list, that are doing great. You know, that's why they're there. But these are places where you might be able to latch on to a good broker that can feed you some good deals. St. Louis, Missouri, Memphis. Now, I've got my thoughts about Memphis, but we'll get into that later. New Orleans, Providence, Rhode Island, Hartford, Connecticut, Virginia Beach, Norfolk, Milwaukee, Madison area, Wisconsin, Knoxville, Chattanooga, Tennessee. I love that area. That's a real nice area there. And Portland, Maine. These are sort of markets within markets and sub-markets and secondary markets, but it kind of gives you the ideas of some areas where there's a lot of activity, a lot of good stuff going on that you might want to include. But, you know, I've had some other podcasts we've done, and we talk a lot about how to find an emerging market and where to start and how to do it yourself as well. So I'm going to have those links in this podcast, so you can go to the show notes and find those links. Okay, that'll be helpful for you. But you know what makes a market good for investors, and just on the simplest basics. Okay. For me, it's cash flow. I mean, and a lot of the old dogs out there listening understand what I'm talking about. They want the cash and they want it now. They don't want to have to wait. They want to buy that property and have it cash flowing within a month or two. But then there's also the appeal of appreciation. Okay. But then you get that balance of the cash flow and the appreciation. That's what's cool about an emerging market, is because you get in there early enough that it's going to appreciate. But the cash flow is going to be good too, because it's a strong area. So your rents are going up and there's a lot of good things that are happening. So, you know, you get that perfect combination, that balance. It's a real simple thing, but it's what makes a market good, at least in my opinion. You look at what does good mean? You see the word good, and yeah, it's a pretty subjective term. You know, there's good pizza, good beer, good movie. Everybody has their opinion of what's good and what's not. But when you're investing money in real estate, it's important to understand exactly what separates good real estate markets from average, not so good, and even downright terrible markets. So how do you find a good real estate market? Okay, you know, I talked about some of these factors already, but here are seven. And again, you can access these in the show notes here. Job creation should be above the national average. Number two, current and expected future population growth also should be above the national average. Building permits pulled, current construction activity and forecasted growth in real estate development. So there's active things going on there to build up that area. Government planning on both state and local level, and whether or not the municipality you're considering investing in is pro-growth or is overburdening with red tape and regulations. Now, you know, we're over here on the coast, they're dealing with things like rent control big time. And those are the kinds of things that can hamper real estate investing. But housing affordability, by using the price to rent ratio to compare median home prices to median rents, a real important one. Absorption rate, we talked about that, or the time that it takes for new housing that is brought to the market to be purchased or rented. You know, if there's a lot of places that are sitting around empty that people aren't renting, you know, that's not a good absorption rate. Vacancy rate, comparing the average in your target market to the overall average vacancy rate for the market. So, you know, those are key things. Cash flow, though, like we say on here on this show, cash flow is king. And real estate investors looking for homes that provide a return quickly focus on cash flowing markets. Cash flow real estate generates a steady and predictable income stream through the holding period of the investment. It's just a good thing. How do you find a good cash flowing property? Well, there's a lot of different ways, but you look at two primary matrix, really, and that's cash on cash return. For example, measuring the annual before tax income generated by the property divided by the total cash invested, and then there's cap rates, okay, where you compare the net operating income before mortgage payment to the price of the property. The higher the cash return and cap rate, the better the property is for cash flow. You know, you also have other issues that you know, with those higher rates too. That may be added to that, but nonetheless, those are sort of the key overview. You know, the list that we, you know, I kind of went over there real quickly with you, and again, you can access them in the show notes if you want to read them over or write them down, is really how, you know, you identify emerging markets, and you find there's a lot of lists. I mean, you can look on Google search, and you'll find the Forbes list, and you'll find the Bigger Pockets list, and you'll find all these different lists, but again, I emphasize, you know, learn how to work the raw data yourself. A great reference book, for example, is Dave Lindahl's Emerging Real Estate Markets. It's one I keep on my desk and I reference on a regular basis. And I'll put a link to it also in the show notes. But good resource. I think he's really the guy that really pinned that, you know, the emerging market. We've always talked about emerging market and stocks and bonds and things like that. But as far as real estate, I think he really pinpointed it. You come up with your own list. I kind of have my own, you know, top 10 favorite right now for 2020. You know, some of the same. Yeah, and again, I'm looking at major markets. I think there are some good secondary and tertiary market lists you can also do too, but, you know, in the interest of time. I'll just say some of my top ones I really like at the top 10 real quick here. Raleigh-Durham, Dallas-Fort Worth, which I just invested in, Orlando, Atlanta, Nashville, Indianapolis, Charlotte, and then some little surprises here. Dayton, Ohio, and Greensboro, North Carolina. Two new ones that I really think are places to watch. Well, anyway, that is it for today. As I mentioned, everything I presented here will be in our show notes, and you can latch on to the data here. There's going to be links to some podcasts that will also help you to understand how to do your own research to determine an emerging market. But all of that will be there. You're going to look for, of course, the show here entitled Top 10 Real Estate Investing Markets for 2020. Well, that's it for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.